Nam Chaivana Rotamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Patojayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Chapter entitled Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text Number 36. Kaliya uvarcha yatra kva vata vachyami sabhavoma tavagyaya lakshaye tatra tatrapi tvam ateshu sharasanam Kaliya uvarcha yatra kva varta vachyami sabhavoma tavagyaya lakshaye tatra tatrapi tvam ateshu sharasanam Kaliya uvarcha yatra kva vata vachyami sabhavoma tavagyaya lakshaye tatra tatrapi tvam ateshu sharasanam Kaliya uvacha. The personality of Kali said, yatra, anywhere, kwa, and everywhere, va, either, ata, thereof, vachyami, I shall reside, sabhavoma, O Lord, or Emperor of the earth, tava, your Agyaya, by the order, lakshaye, I see, tatra, tatra, anywhere and everywhere, api, also, tvam, your majesty, arta, taken over, ishu, arrows, Sharasanam, bows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. Translation responsibly. O Your Majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere, under Your order, I shall but see You with bow and arrows wherever I look. The personality of Kali could see that Maharaj Parikshit was the emperor of all lands all over the world, and thus anywhere he might live, he would have to meet with the same mood of the king. The personality of Kali was meant for mischief, and Maharaj Parikshit was meant for subduing all kinds of mischief mongers, especially the personality of Kali. It was better, therefore, for the personality of Kali to have been killed by the king then and there instead of being killed elsewhere. He was, after all, a surrendered soul before the king, and it was for the king to do what was required. Uh, Amagyan, Timinandasya, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshirin Militam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri, Gurave, Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamaya, Dadati, Swapadantikam, Vansha, Kaupata, Rubhyascha, Kupa, Sindhubhi, Evacha, Pachitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Rama Hare Hare. So this chapter is entitled The Punishment and Reward of Kali. So in the Vedic literatures we see that everyone is personified. Kali Yuga is a personality. The different Shaktis of Krishna are also personalities. Everything has personality. Because God is a person. And everything within God's creation is personal. There is nothing impersonal in God's creation. There is impersonalism is part of God's creation. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabjite. God's creation also includes impersonalism. But primarily, everything is personal. And even the energies and the ages and everything, everything has personality. So you can see that Kali is personifying here at this point in time. So sometimes these things are also allegorical. There are parts of the Vedas or parts of the Bhagavatam which are allegorical also. Like if you go to the fourth canto and you read about the description of Puranjana, that description is allegorical. It's not that there is a Puranjana. It is not that there is a city of nine gates and all these things. It's allegory, or it's examples which are being used. So in order to understand what is allegory and what is actual or factual, then we need to have guidance when reading the scriptures. And this is the problem these days. People read ancient teachings and they speculate. They say this means this and this means that. Even these days, they say you can just get whatever you want out of it. Whatever you see in it, that is good. Now, this is like the tone of this day and age. Even when I was in Adelaide a number of years ago, and I sold a Bhagavatam set to one lady. She was coming around to our temple. So she bought a Bhagavatam set. But then she started associating with the Mayavadi guru. And then the Mayavadi guru said, you don't have to read the Bhagavatam, you can just feel it. So you don't have to read it, you can just feel it. You know, just you can just feel it. So that's what they were doing. They started feeling the Bhagavatam. They just sit there and that. Which is nice, because Srila Prabhupada said that even if they just touch the book, they become purified. Prabhupada said that. Even if they touch the book, they become purified, because the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So they will get purified just by touching. But we want people to do more than that. We want people to open the books and to read the books like that. But in order to read the Bhagavatam, you need guidance. Now, Srila Prabhupada actually says that the purport is more important than the verse. He said that his purports are even more important than the original verses. Because if Prabhupada just translated the 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam and he didn't give any commentary, we would all be very confused. You know, it's Prabhupada's commentaries which illuminate the purport or the meaning behind the verses. And even with Prabhupada's purport, still devotees, they cannot understand everything. Whenever you read Prabhupada's purport, you still have so many questions. So therefore, you need guidance. You need Diksha Guru, you need Shiksha Guru, you need Vaishnav Sangha, you need Satsangha, you need Association of Devotees, Sadhus, to guide you. Otherwise, you won't understand the purports of Prabhupada's book. You can read the purports, you won't understand everything. Many things you'll understand, but some things you'll need guidance, you need questions. I read Prabhupada's books regularly, and sometimes I have questions. You know, so then I wait for His Holiness Bhanu Swami to come to Melbourne, and then I ask the questions. Or I saw him in New Govardhan last week, he was up there as well. So I ask him questions which I can't answer. I don't know the answers to. And I would probably, you know, end up dying, you know, without understanding certain aspects of our philosophy. So we need guidance, that's the point. So in order to understand the Vedic literatures, you need to study the Vedic literatures under the guidance of Guru and Sadhu. And then you will understand it. So here we're hearing about a personality of Kali, a black personality. The age of Kali. Kali means dark. Kali means quarrel and hypocrisy. That's all it is. Kali means a big mess. It's going down very quickly. In the last 150 years, it's been going for 5,000 years now, this age. The last 150 years, it became industrialized. Humanity worked out how to make machinery and industry and complicate everything. And we've done more damage to the earth in the last 150 years than we did in the last 4 million years, since the beginning of the last Satya Yuga. So Kali is becoming a big mess. It is becoming very difficult to navigate. So many problems are arising now. Just like Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu, one of the devotees. I think you all know Uddhava Bandhu Prabhu. He's here. He's an engineer. One of our devotees is an engineer. And the job he's been working on the last 4 years or so in Melbourne is that because Melbourne is expanding, I think the population may be 4.5 million now, I think, in Melbourne. It was 3.5 million 10 years ago or something. So because it's getting bigger and they're in the city itself, they're building the high rises, so there's so much more sewerage than what they had previously. So for the last 4 years, they've been building a sewerage tunnel, another one, there's already two, they're building a third one, out of Melbourne down to Werribee, where they take all the sewerage. That's why the land is cheap. Down in Werribee. Right? So the tunnel is as big as this, like from here to the roof. There's a big tunnel. Just they've been building it for the last 4 years just to drag all the sewage out. So they're making a big mess. And what are they going to do in another 10 years? Make another tunnel? Then what do they do? Then after that make another tunnel? And what do they do? It's just a big mess. What did people do for thousands of years? You just went out to the stool field. You passed all on the ground. Right? Everything was going okay. Right, you just go out there with your lotus, partial stool, and then it decomposes into the earth, and then end of the problem, no pollution. God has a system. But when man thinks he's more intelligent than God, he ruins everything. God had a system, the system worked fine. But now we're more intelligent than God. We can build big tunnels under the ground. You think Krishna can't build big tunnels under the ground? Krishna can do all these things. Like that. But he said, no, there's a better system. You just have a field. Because previously, we've discussed before, people used to live horizontally. Right? But now we live vertically. Right? We're more sophisticated now. We live like this when we go like that. Because we try to compact everyone into a small area. It makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Right? It's better if we all live in like a cubic square mile. Just like in New York. Right. I think, what's the population per kilometre? It's like 1 million people or something, right? Something like that. It's ridiculous. Like 1 million people in Tokyo, right? Singapore, you know, all the advanced cities on the planet. You got people living in a square kilometre, 1 million people in like a square kilometre or something like that. It's ridiculous. This is not natural. Right? This is not the way God created it. Right? Why didn't Krishna create? Why don't you read in the Bhagavad Gita? You know, everyone's living in high rises. You know, Maharaj Yudhishthira looked out the window and said, Arjuna, can you hear me? you know, if they wanted to talk to each other, they would talk. Right? They don't send an email. Right? Someone who's in the next room, right? You know. Are you coming for dinner? Yes, I'm coming for dinner. What would you like? Potatoes. We don't have any potatoes. Oh, that's like, it's ridiculous. Right? This is not, it's not natural. This is Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga means quarrel and hypocrisy. It means that it's a big mess. Kali Yuga is a big mess. Right? It's not natural. It's not simple living and it's not high thinking. It's high living and simple thinking. Right? And it's becoming chaotic. It's chaos. Right? It's organized chaos. They're organizing it quite well. But it's chaos. And it's becoming more and more problematic. And you see, the nations who are the best at organizing these things, they've got big problems. You know, who's really good at getting everything organized? Right? If you look at all the nations, two nations come to my mind. One's Germany, one's Singapore. Very organized, those two countries. Really organized. But it's a big mess. I went to Germany about 15 years ago, and you couldn't even drink the water from the tap. That's their progress. So well organized, and everything's so structured, and so Germany's so well organized. The whole thing's like, boom, 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 you know. We have everything organized, but you can't even drink the water out of the tap because it's polluted. So what's the progress? Yeah. Same as Singapore. Right? So organized. The place is just like, just organized so well, but it's such an unnatural state of existence. So this is Kali Yuga. Yeah. So here, Kali could not take root. Now why could Kali not take root? Why could Kali not progress? Right? Because Kali was fearful. Right? This is the nature of authority. Now, in the Vedic system, one of the most important elements of the Vedic system or Vedic civilization is respect for authority. Basically, that's how Vedic civilization works. It's based on respect for authority. Everyone is very respectful. And you see the remnants are still there. Right? There's respect for authority to a degree. The remnants are still there. The culture is there. People will still offer respect to the elders in their home. Right? Still in many of the cultured families in India, people are very respectful to the elder members. Still very respectful to the parents. Right? And it becomes it's a big challenge for many of the devotees, the Indian body devotees, it becomes a big challenge when they join ISKCON, because then they have the strong obligation to the family and to the parents, and then they have an even stronger obligation to their spiritual master and to the ISKCON movement. So then the parents are putting so much pressure on the young men. When will you get married? Right? When will you get married? We want you to marry this girl, right? If from our village or our town or like that. So then so much pressure is there. Because still people, they respect the authority. So that is the nature of Vedic civilization. Right? It is based on respect for authority. Now, because Kali is fearful of Parikshit, then he can't expand his kingdom. Right? Kali is being maintained out of fear. So that is the nature of authority. A good authority, because what is the nature of authority? Right? If you take on a position of authority, right, it is vatsalya bhav. Right? If you're a parent, right, if you're a mother or a father, then what is the mood? The mood is vatsalya bhav. There's so much love and so much affection which comes from the heart for your child. Right? So that means a great deal of that love and affection is in the form of discipline. Right? You have to discipline your children. Right? My parents were very strict on me. Not too strict, but very strict. They're very strict. I was scared to do things. You know, I was a very well behaved boy. Right? Because I was scared. My friends were smoking and they were drinking. I wouldn't do those things. If I came home and my parents detected any of these things were happening, bang. Immediately. Right? So I'm very grateful for that. They saved me so much difficulty in my life. Right? Just because they were strict like that. And that was out of love. You know, I would not move out of the boundaries because there was discipline there. So that is Vatsalya Bhav. So when you become a leader, right, within society, if you're a king, if you're a queen, right, if you're a politician, if you're a temple president, if you're a temple president's wife, right, if you're a Sankirtan leader, right, if you're whatever you are, everything, all of us are leaders in some capacity. All of us have some authority. All of us have some people who depend upon us. Then what is the mood within that relationship? From our side, leadership means Vatsalya Bhav. Right? It is loving affection from the heart. Right? And that is a real leader. Right? Leader is not someone who you have to follow. Leader is someone who you want to follow. He does not demand respect, but he commands it naturally. You will follow. Whatever he says, you will do it. No problem. Right? How did Prabhupada start this movement? Right? Devotees will do anything for Prabhupada. And even now, we'll do anything for Prabhupada. We'll die for Prabhupada. Right? That's our mood. Right? Sometimes the Brahmanas, they would come to Srila Prabhupada. They came to Prabhupada once in Vrindavan. They would come to him in South India and different places. And the Brahmanas would say, your disciples, your Western disciples, they're so uncultured. They cannot speak Sanskrit. Right? They don't even know which hand to use. Right? In Vedic culture, you use the right hand only. Right? That hand is used for wiping your bottom. That's what it's used for. It's not used for anything else. A culture person doesn't use it. Prabhupada, when he would peel a banana, he would pick it up with his right hand and peel it with his teeth. Wouldn't even touch the banana with the left hand. That's culture. No, and Prabhupada would continuously say to his disciples, you are yavanas and malechas. Because we always do the wrong thing. Even the Indians, you do the wrong thing. Right? Don't even know left hand, right hand like that. So this is culture. Right? Culture means left hand? Sumampuru. Culture means you have to understand what is right, right? What is wrong. So this is the Vedic system, that we get taught these things. What is right, what is wrong. So the Brahmanas, they would come to Prabhupada and they'd say, they don't understand these things. They don't understand what is right, what is wrong. They don't understand what is cleanliness. They don't speak Sanskrit properly. They do not behave properly. They make so many mistakes. They do so many things. And Prabhupada would sit there and patiently listen. And then Prabhupada would say, it's all true. Everything you say is true. But one thing is that whatever I say, they will do it. Right? And then all the Brahmanas would be silent. Because they wouldn't do whatever Prabhupada said. And they should have been doing whatever Prabhupada said. And they should have been teaching Prabhupada's disciples culture. They need to learn those things. Prabhupada said, yes, they need to learn these things. I'm trying to teach them these things. But the essence of the Vedas, the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, the essence of the Bhagavatam, the essence of Krishna consciousness is surrender. Right? Krishna says at the end of the Gita, is Savadaman Parijaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Right? Surrender unto me. Right? It is Prapana. Shishastiham Satimam Twam Prapanam. Now I am your disciple. I am just surrendered unto you. Instruct me. This is the mood of the follower, the disciple. The servant. We will follow whatever is being told to us. So that is the qualification. So when you're a leader, right, because all of us are leaders, every single one of us is a leader. Now, there are people who are depending upon us. Then, we must instruct out of Vatsalya Bhava, which means there must be affection coming from the heart. So it means we have to give instructions. And part of our affection means we have to discipline. Just like I said this morning, we had Guru Puja for Prabhupada, right? When I joined the temple, right, then whenever we started the Guru Puja, right, as soon as the Govindam prayers finish, right, the microphone is set up. Right, these days it's never set up. Right? The Kirtan leader is ready to begin at the moment the scores are finished reading. Right? That means the mridanga is ready, the cartels are ready, the microphone is set up, and whoever is offering the aarti to Prabhupada is already there. Everything is already set up, and when the the scores are finished reading out, then he blows the conch. And he finishes the aarti. The aarti and the kirtan finish simultaneously. That's also part of the system, which is not always followed these days. Sometimes the aarti goes quickly and they finish in the kirtan, so it's not appropriate. Right? So this is discipline. Discipline means you need to know the standards. You need to do things properly. Right? Not that people come and they finish early and they start late and do all these things incorrectly. Right? This is not the system. Right? The system is that you start on time, you finish on time. That is the system. So Srila Prabhupada, then he was emphasizing to the devotees, these things need to be learned, they need to be understood. Right? So as a leader, right, then we need to embody Vatsalya Bhava, because it means that sometimes we have to enforce discipline on the devotees, but it's done with love. And actually, if you look at statistics, when they teach courses about leadership, how a leader should behave and how a leader should act, they say that 14 times one should give compliments to every one criticism or instruction. In other words, a good leader or a great leader, he should be giving far more praise than he should be giving instruction or discipline. Because it means that when you give the instruction or you give the discipline, it will be taken very easily. But if all you ever get from the leader, from your parents, your mother, your father, right, from your whoever your guru, right, from whoever it is, if it's always just continuous criticism, psychologically it's not very healthy. Right? And it's hard to accept that kind of criticism. It's hard to accept that kind of instruction. So Vatsalya Bhav means that you have to give a great deal of affection. That's a real leader. There was a very nice book that came out many years ago on management, very famous book. It was called The 1 Minute Manager. Very famous book. And it was a very good book on management. And one of the key principles in the book is catching people doing things right. Right? Good manager. Right? So the person was giving the example that the manager, he walks around the company continuously. Right? He's very visible, right? Always walking around the office floor or the factory floor, and he's always catching people doing right. Oh, you're doing that very well. That's good. You know, you're doing a good job today. Right? These are the best leaders. Right? Always moving around and treating everyone like this. So leader means it's a thankless task, as Bhakti Rasamrita Swami was explaining to us when he was explaining the position of a kshatriya recently. Then it's a thankless task, because the kshatriya, right, the leader within society, because the kshatriyas are the leaders. That's why you see in the Bhagavad Gita, the succession is going through the kshatriyas. Right? Evam parampara praptam, imam rajashi yogidu. Then when the succession is mentioned, right, it says Vivashwan, right, Kshatriya, right, to Manu, Kshatriya, to Ikshvaku, Kshatriya. That's the succession of the Gita. It was going through the Kshatriya. The Kshatriya's position is very important. Right? The leader's position is incredibly important. Right? Because his position is to maintain everything, and that's a thankless task. Because, as Maharaj was pointing out, you're on call 24 hours a day. And you see the example in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, and Maharaj actually mentioned that example also, that Arjuna happened to be in Dwarka, and when the Brahmana walked in to Dwarka, into the kingdom, and said, I need assistance at this point in time, then immediately Arjuna, he went, oh no, it wasn't that time, sorry, I'm mixing up the pastimes. There's another pastime in the Mahabharata where Yudhishthira was with Draupadi, in the armory, in the where they keep all the weapons. So then the agreement between the Pandavas, because all five of them married Draupadi, the agreement was that only one of them could be with Draupadi at one time. Otherwise conflict would come. because when they married Draupadi, they introduced Draupadi to Narada. And when Draupadi left, Narada said, "You have to be very careful, because she's so beautiful and she's so qualified that she might cause conflict between the five of you." So then they discussed amongst themselves and they made a rule. Only one of us could be with Draupadi at any one time. Well, it wasn't exactly like that, but it meant that if one of us was privately with Draupadi, the other person would not enter at that time. So Yudhishthira was with Draupadi. They were in the armory where all the weapons were kept. And then Arjuna was approached by a Brahmana. And the Brahmana said, there is a dacoit, a thief, and he is taking my cows. So then Arjuna, immediately, he said, okay, I'll take care of the situation. So he had to make a decision whether he goes into the armory, takes his bow and his arrows, and goes and chases, or he breaks his promise to Yudhishthira that he would not go into the association of Yudhishthira and Draupadi when they were together privately. So he went in and he kept his head down and he apologized. He said to Yudhishthira, he said, "Please forgive me for breaking for this misconduct." But he said, "There's a Brahmana who needs my attention." So he picked up his bow and his arrow. He went out. He killed the dacoits. He took the cows back and gave it back to the Brahmana. And then he came back. And then he said to Yudhishthira, he said, "Please forgive me." And the condition was that if they had broken their agreement, they would have to go to exile for 1 year. They would have to go to the forest for 1 year. So Arjuna said to Yudhishthira, he said, "I'll go to the forest now for 1 year." This is the nature of the Vedic civilization. This is another key element of the Vedic civilization. That if someone took a vow or a vrat, that vow or vrat was a vrat. No? In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult for people to keep vows or vrats, as we know. Very hard for people to give their promise. That's why it's recommended you don't promise people things too much. Don't say to people, "I promise," unless you can actually do it. Because the nature of Kali Yuga, people just change their promises all the time. You know, one of the best examples of that in Kali Yuga is marriage. In America, 50% of the marriages end in divorce within, and most of them end in divorce within 2 years. So there's no respect for vows anymore, not like previously. So Yudhishthira said, "No, you don't have to go. This was a special circumstance." But Arjuna said, "No, I took a vow, I will go." So he went for 1 year to the forest. He actually enjoyed himself. Because he went to the forest, and what did he do? Right? He took a group of brahmanas and they went to the forest and they studied Bhagavatam for a year. They just travelled for 1 year around India. Right. And as he travelled through the forest, they just studied Bhagavatam, Puranas. It actually says that Arjuna was as learned as the Brahmanas. He was incredibly learned, Arjuna. He was such a scholar. He knew all the Shastras very perfectly. So the point is that the leader, he has to be incredibly dedicated to protecting those under his care. That is Vatsalya Bhav. So it's very difficult to be a leader because it means you have to be continuously giving. Right? And what's the best example of leadership? Right? Is being a parent. It's like I read a book a number of years ago about parenthood, about becoming a parent. And very funny. It was like a comical book. It was very humorous. And on the front cover of the book, there's a sign. And it says, on the side, one way it says, becoming a parent. And on the other direction, it says, having a life. And this is what he says on the first page of the book. He says, understand right now that you've got two choices. If you want a life, don't have kids. Right? Because when you have kids, you're not going to have a life. That's it. That is your life. Right. And it's interesting, my spiritual master said to me, just before I got married, he said, when you get married, he said, your first responsibility is your wife. And he said, when you have children, your first responsibility is your children. Right. So that's what it means being a parent. Right. That's our main responsibility. And when you're a leader, that means basically you have kids. Basically, when you take up a position of responsibility, it means you have children. Or in other words, dependents. Right? And it means you have to give and give and give continuously. You have to be prepared for that. And it takes a very powerful entity to live like that, to be like that. That's why the Kshatriyas, because the Kshatriyas are empowered, very powerful. They were very particular about who would marry into the family. Because the offspring had to be incredibly powerful. Because the responsibility was incredibly powerful. And Prabhupada pointed that out, that you see the pastime of Rukmini and Krishna. When Krishna took Rukmini and he kidnapped her, they were driving away. And then Krishna was being attacked from behind by Shishupal and Jarasandha and I think Duryodhana was there. A number of them, they chased Krishna, they attacked Krishna from behind. Balaram ended up coming. Now, Balaram turned up with the army, with the Yadavas, and he drove them off. But, first of all, Krishna began to fight on the chariot. So when they were reading that pastime to Prabhupada, they were in Vrindavan one afternoon, and they were reading the Krishna book, and they were reading, and then Prabhupada, he interjected. And Prabhupada said, yes. Then, Rukmini, Krishna said to Rukmini, you drive the chariot. And then I will fight with these opposing Kshatriyas. So Rukmini took up the chariot and she began to drive. You know, big horses. You know, at least four horses. Maybe more. You know, on the front of the chariot. It's not easy driving a chariot. So, you know, Rukmini's there driving the chariot. Right? Very powerful. Right? That's why they were very particular about who would marry into the Kshatriya dynasties. Because the princesses had to be very powerful. They were Kshatriya women. They were powerful. Just like I think Maharaj was telling that story, and Prabhupada gave that example, that I think it was one of the Rajputs, one of the Rajasthani kings. Then that king, he went out to the battle, he was defeated, and he came back. And the queen would not let him into the palace. Right? He came back home after losing the battle, and she locked the palace. She instructed him. She said, don't let him back in. Right? And she was standing up on the wall, you know, looking down, and said, better you go and die. You should have died in the battle. You've come back a disgrace. You've disgraced this dynasty. These were Kshatriyas. They're powerful. The women were powerful. The men were powerful. Right? So, that means whenever we take the responsibility of leadership, it's a great challenge. We have to be ready for the challenge. So don't have children unless you're ready for the challenge. Because it's a big challenge. Right. It's an incredible amount of sacrifice. An incredible amount of sacrifice. And if you're going to become a guru, this is what it says in the Bhagavad Gita. If you're going to become a father, a mother, right, a husband, a guru, a demigod, right, a teacher, right, it says do not become unless you can deliver your dependents. Bhagavad Gita says do not become. Right? It's a great amount of sacrifice. Right? So here, Kali could not even enter. Why? Because Parikshit was there. So now what's happening? 5,000 years later, right? Parikshit is not there. Arjuna is not there. Yudhishthira is not there. And then what's happening? Kali's doing practically whatever he wants. Running here, running there, you know, making so many problems. And who's stopping Kali? No? So what does Prabhupada say in his purports? ISKCON is meant to stop Kali. No? It's a fight. Srila Prabhupada says, we have declared war on Maya. Right? We are here to stop Kali. Big responsibility. Because we are not Maharaj Parikshit, we are not Arjuna, we are not Yudhishthira. Right? We find it hard just to get up in the morning. Find it hard just to finish our rounds. Find it hard not to eat too many rasgullas at breakfast. Right? And yet, we are meant to save the earth from the influence of Kali. A very big responsibility. But that's a responsibility we've been given. It's our responsibility to change this earth. Prabhupada wanted that. He wanted us to change. Prabhupada actually said, the Krishna consciousness movement will go down in history as saving humanity in its darkest hour. So this is our responsibility. We've been given this on behalf of. Srila Prabhupada was the emissary sent by Krishna to fight against Kali Yuga, its progress. And if we don't do it, no one else will do it. No one else. Otherwise, Kali will just take control and go everywhere. It's already a great battle. Kali has already got too much control. We have to fight and bring everyone back to Krishna's side. Like that, so we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. What is it? The beginning of the... Yeah.
Why not Brahmins?
Because the Kshatriyas have to enforce. Right? It's the Kshatriyas' duty. The Brahmins will teach. Just like if you look at Kali Yuga now, right? Prabhupada said ISKCON is meant to create a class of Brahmanas. So we will give the instruction, but who is enforcing it? Right? So it has to be given to the Kshatriyas. Now the Kshatriyas have to understand, right, the Bhagavad Gita and the principles of the Vedas so that they can enforce it. Because the Brahmanas will not enforce it. Right? The Brahmanas will instruct. They will give advice. The Brahmanas would instruct the Kshatriyas, right, but then it's the Kshatriyas' duty to enforce it or follow it. And as we said, that Arjuna was as learned as the Brahmanas. They're extremely learned, the Kshatriyas. They're also extremely learned. So they knew what to do. They would take advice from the Brahmanas. Like that. And according to the Brahmanas' council, then they would make their decisions. But they had to make the decisions based on what the Brahmanas had instructed, and then they had to. So it's up to the Kshatriyas to enforce. Is it okay? Prabhupada said they should go to the plough department. That's what he said. Said they should go to the plough department, which means to our farms. So you send them all to the farms and we'll engage them in Krishna service. Prabhupada said that. He said that not everyone will take, what we call first initiation. But Prabhupada said not everyone will take the second initiation. Because not everyone has the nature. I know some devotees that have been devotees for longer than I have, long, long time, but they never took second initiation. They just don't have that nature. It's not their nature to worship the deity and do those kind of activities. Just so we can engage them. And even here, and in the temple, there's so much they can do. So many activities. So it's not that every single person will necessarily take what we call Brahman or second initiation. Not everyone will do that. Does that answer your question?
But even those who have taken second initiation, that doesn't necessarily mean they're Brahman. The nature is Brahman. So that's the common pattern.
That's the what? Brahminical culture.
Yeah.
So the second initiation, we call it Dvija, right? That was given to Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmanas. The Shudras never got that second initiation, but the higher classes got it. So what we give at that time is not, we call it Brahminical initiation. That's what we generally say, but it's not actually Brahminical initiation. It's not only for Brahmanas. The Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas can also worship the deity. It's not only for people who are Brahmanas to do that. But there's a Brahminical culture, as you said, there should be a culture of acting like a Brahmana, or having the qualities of a Brahmana. What are the qualities of a Brahmana? No, I'm just saying in general. What are the qualities? Okay, what are the qualities? Samodama. So there are qualities of a Brahmana like that. The point is that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving this second initiation or this diksha to people, many people, and they weren't coming from what we call Brahminical families. That's why there was a great deal of opposition. Prabhupada received opposition. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur received even more opposition. He had 60,000 disciples. Now, he was initiating people who were not, but he was giving them what we would call Brahminical initiation. But then he defeated their philosophy by quoting the Shastra that one who takes Vaishnav Diksha, he becomes a Brahmana automatically. So the whole point, and this is the actual point, you should be qualified when you take that second initiation, what we call the second initiation in ISKCON. You should be qualified. When you take it, you are meant to already have, and then from that point on, be developing Brahminical qualities. That is the process of purification. So we should see devotees should be becoming peaceful, self-controlled, right, truthful, right? They should develop equanimity. They should become learned. They should develop wisdom. They should become religious. Shantiya, Arjuna, Pivacha. All these qualities should be. So we should see naturally these things are developing. That is the process of purification. So if you take the second initiation and you're performing those activities which you're given the permission to do at that second initiation, then the outcome is that you should be developing Brahminical qualities. You know, if you're worshipping the deity every day or regularly and you're not becoming purified or developing the Brahminical qualities, there's something wrong with the application. Right? Either one, that you really shouldn't have taken that second initiation, because Prabhupada said not everyone should take it. Right? Or it means that you're not following the process properly. And it's difficult for devotees to follow the process properly in this day and age. There's so much demand on them in their workplaces and everything too. You know, I mean, devotees are great, you know, for the sacrifice they're making, for how much they're... Like, I look at the devotees. I think my job's easy in one sense, you know, even though in another sense it's not easy. But, you know, I couldn't do what most of the congregation do. Go to work every day for long hours and still chant 16 rounds and still raise a Krishna conscious family and still run Bhakti Vriksha groups and still do all the things they do. It's very, very difficult. You know, meant to become a Brahmana, and then, like, you know, Mathura Manaha says to me all the time, he says, I feel like I'm in two worlds. I go into that world, there's nothing Brahminical about it at all. You know, he's an accountant in a company, and he steps out, and then suddenly he's a Brahmana in ISKCON. You know, it's like he said, I feel like I'm in two worlds. And devotees in that position, they pray to Krishna, Krishna, get me out of this world, bring me into this world soon. Does that answer you? Okay. Any other question or comment?
Sometimes the reason is like we practice in work with, like you said, it is like religion teaches you to be soft and, you know, be adjusting with everyone. But it is understood as a weakness in a person. But, you know, we are made that way. You can't accept
it. Yeah, it's very difficult. The Prabhupada said, Narada once gave an instruction to the cobra, because the cobra was a devotee. Like, he's very frightening, like that. So a devotee, so he doesn't want to act like a cobra anymore because he became a devotee. He was very soft now. But then, because he's very soft, all the kids used to throw stones at him. You know, everyone used to get on him. So then he said to Narada, what do I do? You know, I don't want to be a cobra, but, you know. So Narada said, then you act like a cobra. When the kids come, you go, like that. Then all the kids ran away, but then he just went back to being peaceful again. So when you're at work, you have to play the game a little bit. You have to act a little bit, you know, strong, because that's the nature. But inside, you're not really like that. Just make sure. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?